One thing I'm looking forward to with Josh taking over is the fact that these stairs have gotten steeper as the years have gone by. I realized I think I was probably about 53 years old, and I was out playing a basketball game with the other boys, or at least I was out on the court watching them run, and it dawned on me I was going to have hip replacement surgery if I didn't stop. And so every once in a while when I walk up these steps, my hip reminds me, you played basketball way too long with the little boys. So I was thinking about the different teen trips that we have taken through the years, and some of the things that the kids did that I really kind of enjoyed. We always take hikes when we go up to the mountains. I was thinking Brad and Christy are here with their group of grandkids, and their kids would wear me out. They would get going, and they would get on the path, and they wouldn't stop. Well, somebody had to stay up with them, and I was usually the one that was elected, so I tried to keep them in sight. By the time Bo came along, it was about keeping him in sight. I can remember him and Zach. They would take off, and they would just keep going. And they'd just keep going. And finally, I'd have to holler at them, we have to stop. The rest of the kids are waiting for us. But they just had that built into them. I think the one that was the one that made the biggest impression on me was a couple of years ago. We were climbing something called Kruger Rock. Not Freddy, but Kruger Rock. And Emily Coyle sprained her ankle. And so I'm not going to say I was kind of relieved, but this gave me a chance to turn around and go back. Emily would hear nothing of it. She was about halfway up, and she wasn't. So she limped on. I thought, boy, I'm going to have to face her parents one of these days. But she just kept on limping on and limping on. You get to the top, and you actually climb a rock to get up there, and she climbed that rock, and then she came back all the way back down that mountain on a sprained ankle, but she made it. And she'll always remember that as the day that she knew the lobotomy was successful, but also as the day that she recognized that she didn't have to give up unless she wanted to. This is a lesson on going forward. I think the era that we're living in got used to giving out participation ribbons and medals to everybody who just tried. And anybody who's ever had me as a coach will understand this. I always admired the maximum effort. And even if you didn't win, if you tried your best, then to me that was success. But still, at the end, it was the first place team that got the trophy, not the fourth place team or the ones that just showed up every game. Even if they did try. That mentality has kind of seeped into the church, I think. Not this particular group. As a matter of fact, I don't think it seeped into this group at all. But I've noticed through the years that people have become more and more reliant on what God will do. And I do believe we need to be reliant upon God's grace. I'm going to be begging for grace and mercy on the day of judgment, not justice, as far as what I've got coming to me, because I know I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I also know for every servant of God, there's a requirement to keep going. You cannot stop where you're at, and you cannot be satisfied with good enough. There will always be something else for you to do. Now, that's discouraging to some people, but for those who enjoy the challenge and who enjoy the service and the one they serve and the people, our fellow servants that we serve with, well, then this becomes something that is wonderful. And so the idea of this sermon is on going forward. Maybe the hardest thing for us when we become Christians is there are certain things that we have to give up that we may have enjoyed, even though they were not particularly healthy for us or our relationships. And sometimes we'll look back at sin and we'll think, that was kind of fun. Matter of fact, one of the things that makes sin enticing is the fact that there are elements of fun to it, or seeming fun. Maybe the better description is fleeting moments of joy, or not joy, but fleeting moments of happiness. And we look back on that sometimes and we think about what we've given up instead of what we have received in return, and we're tempted to go back. And so, again, I want to say this lesson today is on going forward, keeping on, pressing on. And I want to look at the Israelites as an example. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over to Exodus chapter 2, this is shortly, Exodus 2 goes really quick, so it's just a few verses after Joseph has died. Joseph has brought his family into Egypt, and they had an honored position in Egypt. They multiplied quickly. They were growing as a family. But a Pharaoh came to power that did not know Joseph or what he had done for them, or at least he didn't care. And they started looking at the family, Joseph's family, the Jews, as a potential problem. So they enslaved them. And the Jews grew to a mighty nation within this nation, but they were a nation of slaves. And they started crying out to God. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. Their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. You ever think about that in your own life when things get a little bit tough? God is looking to help you. I've always loved the parable of the prodigal son, because when you look at the father, though he did not go and rescue the son while he was involved in his sin, the moment his son came out of the sin, the father knew, because the father was looking for him. This is the picture that we need. When we talk about going forward, we need to understand that God will help us every step of the way. And so here he sees the Israelites in bondage, and it says he was concerned about them. And so he goes to Moses, and he's talking to Moses about leading the Israelites back and what God expects Moses to do. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2, God also said to Moses, "I'm the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant." And so now the table is set. He's gone to Moses, and he's getting Moses to go, and by God's power and Moses' leadership, he's going to bring them out of bondage because he remembered their covenant. Well, we remember the account of the plagues that Egypt went through, and how finally Israel was permitted to go. As a matter of fact, they were encouraged to go. But then the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, decided, hey, we're losing our slaves. So he went after them. So the Israelites are on the road. They've come to the Red Sea, and they've stopped there while the Egyptian army is coming up behind them. Exodus chapter 14. In verse 10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better," look at this, "it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you'll never see them again forever." Verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." Think about the Israelites. They're on the brink of the Red Sea, and they're being told by God to go forward. Where are we going to go? We don't have any boats. But God said, go forward. And they trusted God, and God brought about a mighty miracle and allowed them to do that. The first thought that I want to point out to you when it comes to this idea of what we've left behind, there are some who think it would be better to be a slave than to go through the difficulty. I believe this is America's situation right now. I'm convinced in the next few years, America is either going to be a virtual group of slaves, or there's going to be a revolutionary war. I don't want either. I don't desire either, but I think they're going to be virtual slaves because I do not think that Americans have it within them to resist slavery any more than the Israelites had it in them as a group. While individuals certainly did have a desire to go forward, as a group, they don't. Let me ask you this. Do you think it would be better to remain a slave to your sin and just kind of slide through life without effort? Or do you think it'd be better to go forward and do the difficult things that being a Christian demands? The Christian life is filled with blessing. I can recommend it. As somebody who has tried both ways, I can tell you for sure that as hard as the Christian life is, it's nothing in comparison to the difficulty of a life of sin. But there is a temptation to not go forward. There's a temptation to give up. There's a temptation just to, I'm tired. I'd rather be a slave. I'd rather just do what somebody tells me to do and let them feed me. When it comes to Christianity, sometimes people look back at the other life and it'd be easier to sleep in on Sundays. And as far as this giving of part of my money, like to keep that and use it for what I want to use it for. There's a lot of things in life where it would just be easier to just kind of exist and not have to think about the responsibilities that you have. But there's a day of reckoning that comes. And on that day of reckoning, there will be tremendous reward for those who go forward. And there will be tremendous punishment, as there should be, for those who go back. And so if we're tempted just to remain in our life of slavery to sin and therefore slavery to Satan, understand that's what it means. There will be a day of reckoning. But as far as going forward, this difference between the two. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1, remember, they've said it would be better to be slaves. Now look at their attitude. They're hungry and thirsty at this point. The whole Israelite community, Exodus 16:1, set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and the Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had come out of Egypt, so now they're gone just a little over a month, in the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you." Think about how they felt. They're marching probably somewhere between 2 and 4 million people. And they are hungry, and they are thirsty, and they've been through a lot already. But think about some of the things they have been through. They've seen the power of God, first through the plagues that went upon everybody, and then through the plagues that just were upon the Egyptians. And then they saw by God's mighty hand how he rescued them. And instead of humbly entreating him, "Please help me," they said, "It would have been better if we'd have died." More on that in just a moment, but keep that in your mind. Now, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. Now they've been gone a little bit longer. They've sent the spies into Canaan. They're on the verge of the promised land. But 10 of the spies bring back a bad report. The people there are big. In other words, there's something we're going to have to do, part of which was courage, part of which was trust. And the vast majority of them had neither. And so in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1, that night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly and said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt." They'd said that once before, hadn't they? "Or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back." And so here we have it. They're on the verge of receiving the promise. They've seen all the power of God, including the raining down of bread from heaven when they thought they were going to starve to death. And God just created bread from heaven that they could go and gather every day. And now they're on the verge of the promised land, and they see that it's going to be hard. And they say for a second time, "If only we had died." You ever get to that point? There are hard times in life, aren't there? There are times that will bring us to our knees when it comes to the challenges that God has for us. But for those who can meet the challenge, for those who will continue to go forward, there is heaven. I think one of the reasons that we have a problem with suicide in our society, maybe more so than we've had at any other time within our nation's history, is because people have been told, if it's hard, somebody will take care of you. And so they get deeper and deeper and deeper into sin until they get to the point where they realize, I can't get out of this on my own, and there's not any group that can help me get out of this. And so, hey, it'd be better to die. They give up. Always love coaching. I love coaching little kids, especially. And one of the things I can very distinctly remember were the times when they would be behind and they, "Oh, it's hard." And it is hard, you know, to go out and throw that little ball up into a hoop. Don't give up. Just teaches them there are things that you can go through. And I remember one team in particular, and I just told them this was a particularly good team. One of the few ones that I actually didn't have to do much coaching on because they were so good. And I remember reminding them, there's been nobody that's been able to beat you all year. You go out and you play hard. And they went out and they played hard and they won the trophy. Not because I was so brilliant, but because there was somebody there that said, keep going. We need that in our lives. One of the reasons we read the Word of God on a daily basis is because He reminds us each day within the Scriptures, keep going. Is it hard? I'll be with you, and it won't be too hard. The reward is incredible, and the consequences for not doing it His way are also incredible. As a matter of fact, turn now over to Colossians chapter 3 and think about this for a moment, especially in regards to our old lives of sin. He's talking now to Christians, people who have left their life of sin, and he said, since then, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I find that this has been one of my greatest obstacles, if not my greatest obstacle in this life, is taking my mindset off the earthly things. There are some important things in this world, aren't there? There are some things that we would like to accomplish. There are some things we would like to experience. And there's nothing wrong with going towards those things. I think every person should have dreams. And I think part of those dreams need to be physical. I think you need to be working for something that is good and noble physically. But our mindset has to be on things above. It has to be on heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. When my heart, when my mind is set on an earthly thing above God, I make an idol of that, and I don't do very well. And life gets really, really difficult. And there are times I think, well, it'd be just easier just to put it on cruise control, to let somebody take care of me, somebody tell me what to do. I'll be a slave and somebody will feed me. Or we might think at times, oh, it'd be nice just to lie in peace and to be dead. What a worthless attitude. I'm not belittling people who go through difficult things. I have been gifted by God to not go through a lot of things that a lot of people have gone through. But I can also tell you that I've gone through hard things as well. And you've gone through some hard things as well. And yet here you sit today. Whether you are successful every step along the way, here you are today. You're going forward. It's not a small thing to keep going forward. It's a big thing. But the only way we can continue to do that is if our mind is set on things above. We can take part in the things below. There's a lot of fun things below. But our mind has to be set on things above. And he tells why. For you died. Your life is now hidden with Christ. Remember when you were buried with Christ in baptism? The old man died. You rose to walk a newness of life. That was a covenant you made with God. A circumcision of the heart is the way the New Testament calls it. A covenant with God that you're now going to live for Him. Are you doing it? Are you going forward with that agreement, with that promise? And if you're like me, you have to say some days you do better than others, and some days you struggle. Once you find yourself struggling, what are you going to do about it? You can give up. Or are you going to go forward? You died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, wouldn't that make a difference if Christ was our life? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And what hard thing have you gone through in your life that the words, "well done, good and faithful servant," will not cure? What hard things in your life have you been through? Will you not forget instantly if you hear, "well done, good and faithful servant, come and share your master's joy"? Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its Creator. We're going to heaven. And there are going to be some challenges along the way. Go through the challenge. Matter of fact, may I say this? You'll find life a lot easier when you embrace the challenge. I'm not saying embrace heartache. I'm not saying embrace disappointments. I'm saying embrace the challenge. Put the heartache and the disappointments behind and do something about it. Go forward. Think of Emily climbing the side of a cliff, which is about what it is when we got to the end, on a sprained ankle. Do you have that kind of desire within you to where there's nothing that could keep you from being in heaven with God? You won't earn it. I'm not suggesting that. It'll be by grace that you're saved. Still, that's true. But you and I have our part to do. And if we'll set our heart on things above, if we'll not give up, if we'll not be tempted to go back into slavery, if we're not tempted to just think it'd be better to die, we're going to be with God forever someday. And you get to choose if you want to do that. Invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you come forward and let that be known while we stand and sing?